just in time for kickoff. Hooters' famous saucy wings, delicious seafood, half-pound stacked burgers, and fresh chopped salads. Hooters is honored to serve the Tampa Bay community with delicious take-home and a great place to watch the game with friends and family. Providing that famous neighborhood hospitality only Hooters can deliver. Hooters, proud sponsor of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Visit originalhooters.com for locations near you.
Thanks to Hooters for their continuing presenting sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. This is Season 7, Episode 35. We will review all Thursday and Sunday fantasy action. At least one thought per team from those Thursday-Sunday games as we record around lunchtime on Monday. So it will be independent of what I'm sure will be. It will be tough to be less of an offensive show. Wow, when you consider the last three NFL games most people will watch in week three, offensive duds, fantasy duds, Tampa Bay, Green Bay, leading into Denver, San Francisco, and then Dallas and New York on Monday night. Yuck. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, also presented by Bill Curry Ford. They write $1,000 checks to the winners of Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast Leagues. And Brandon Legal Group supports all my podcasts, all my golf tournaments. They are your full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. For a free consult, visit BrandonLegalGroup.com. Let's go. Week 3 review in order of the games played. Pittsburgh, I know you Najee Harris owners are not thrilled and you're worried. He's still 18 touches, 61 yards, one touchdown. It can't get any worse. He's a guy who's going to play through small injuries. It's a bad offensive line. Yeah, if you want to sell off Najee Harris, you go ahead. But if I was in your league, I'd be one of those saying I'll be happy to take him off your hands because he's still getting you double-digit fantasy points. I know you want more based on his numbers last year and how he was RB4 behind only Taylor, Eckler, and Mixon. But Mike Tomlin gets stuff figured out, and Najee Harris is just going to continue to touch the ball everywhere on the field. He's going to run it, he's going to catch it out of the backfield, and he's their first option when they get close to the goal line. Amari Cooper. Now, my theory on Amari Cooper has been since the Deshaun Watson suspension was finalized, Cleveland could trade Amari Cooper by the deadline because Cooper's contract, they reworked some things, but still, you know, it would take more wins from Cleveland to stay relevant until Deshaun Watson comes back. It's sort of an awkward situation. Cooper is currently healthy, and when he's healthy, he plays well. 7 catches, 101 yards, and a touchdown in the Thursday night game against the Steelers. Also, one fantasy note from the Thursday night game between the Steelers and the Browns. I told you for the last few years how I don't use DST in any of my season-long leagues. What happened on the final play of the Pittsburgh-Cleveland game is why. It's a fluke touchdown that has no bearing on the outcome of the game. It can certainly have an outcome on the spread, the total, and fantasy owners. So by eliminating DST entirely, those 8 points, and yeah, I get it. Most people aren't playing the Browns defense and special teams. But the point being, that's 8 points that shouldn't happen in fantasy. On a game-ending play that doesn't impact who won and lost on the field. That's why. That exact play, because it happens a couple of times every year. And based on DST points, that's 2 points for the turnover, 6 points for the touchdown. That's 8 points. That's a lot. I often say you just want double digits out of your starters. That's almost the equivalent of another starting player. relatively speaking. That's why my season-long leagues do not use DST. That play. All right, let's move on to Sunday action. Buffalo. Finally, something out of a running back of fantasy significance, and it was Singletary. 14 touches, 91 yards, one touchdown. He was Buffalo's leading receiver in the game as well. Miami, Jalen Waddle, four catches, 102 receiving yards, no touchdowns, but Jalen Waddle remains very consistent. Remember, he had 100 grabs in his rookie season. Cincinnati and the Jets. T. Higgins remains. He's basically a Jalen Waddle type. T. Higgins and Jalen Waddle are very similar. Higgins, 5 for 93. No touchdown, but still. The volume is there. These are high floor players that you can roll out every week. We have a Jet sighting. Now, I think I talked about Garrett Wilson after the first 2 weeks just because, hey, he's a first-round pick. He's been heavily involved in the passing game. So I get that some of you may have picked up Garrett Wilson off waivers leading into maybe week three. Maybe you got him before week two. The rookie running back Hall, 14 touches, 92 yards, no touchdowns, but there's enough there now to get my attention. I'm not rostering him, but I have to acknowledge that as owners look for available running backs, and this is one of my theories to why I don't feel it is necessary to draft running backs in both the first and second round, because as the season goes on, there will be running backs available via waivers who will touch the ball enough to merit your consideration, because running backs get hurt more than premier wide receivers get hurt. So Hall is someone that has enough volume to generate, let's just say, momentum to being someone you can plug and play, and he gives you a decent option. Now, this could all change when Zach Wilson comes back under center. There's still the Jets. But Hall at this point is rosterable. I think that's all I'm saying here. For Vegas, the only winless team in the National Football League. Wow, is Pete DeBoer coaching this team? Oh, yeah. It's the meltdown known as Josh McDaniels. We've seen this before in Denver. Davante Adams, 5 catches, 36 yards, 1 touchdown. Davante is already sort of getting, what did I do here? I'm not saying Derek Carr is playing bad, but what happens if McDaniels benches Carr? And then Adams is like, well, I didn't sign up for this. This doesn't look good in Vegas. Tennessee, for those of you unhappy with Derrick Henry's production the first 2 weeks, 25 touches, 143 yards, and a touchdown in week two. So there's your 20 fantasy points. Shut the fuck up. New Orleans, it's messy. Michael Thomas injured. Landry injured. Keep checking status. The Thomas injury, I think, is a toe. It doesn't sound like much, but those can be significant injuries for guys getting in and out of routes, and especially that play on artificial turf. And Michael Thomas has some age on him and a recent injury history. But Olave, 9 for 147 in the New Orleans game against Carolina. Carolina, McCaffrey has gotten double-digit fantasy points 3 weeks in a row. So your investment in him has paid off. But if you did invest in DJ Moore, that is not. He touched the ball 3 times, 2 rushes for 13 yards. He had 1 catch for 2 yards. We had the debut of J.K. Dobbins for this season in Baltimore's game against New England. J.K. Dobbins touched the ball 9 times for a pedestrian 40 yards. Lamar Jackson still dominates the rushing attack for Baltimore. New England, I own Ramondre Stevenson in one of my leagues. I nearly played him this week. I wish I had, because he put up great numbers. He was heavily involved. Again, the touch count, Ramondre 16, Damian Harris 13, both scored touchdowns. The Mac Jones injury only raises the profile on Ramondre Stevenson and Damian Harris. They are the equivalent right now of A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones. Detroit and Minnesota. Swift may miss some time. I know those of you who used a first or second round pick on Swift don't want to hear that. Jamal Williams played well. Detroit scores. Amon-Ra St. Brown, what was wrong with him? He didn't score in this game. No, I don't own him. I'm just making the point. Jamal Williams, 22 touches, 107 yards, 2 touchdowns. Detroit is playing fantasy football because they found a way to lose this game to Minnesota. Justin Jefferson, a second dud in a row. 3 touches, 14 yards. I'm not worried. I just don't love it, especially in a week where Tyreek Hill, I think, only touched the ball 2 or 3 times. That sunk me in one of my leagues. Philadelphia, look at Devontae Smith. 8 touches, 169 yards, and a touchdown, and it wasn't at the expense of A.J. Brown, who also put up wide receiver 1 fantasy numbers. Jalen Hurts and the Eagles have a good thing going. Washington, for those of you who thought Carson Wentz was playable in single quarterback leagues, 43 attempts, 211 yards, no touchdowns. Kansas City, Indianapolis. Bad game for KC. Key drop by Travis Kelce in the end zone, even though he did score on another play earlier in the game. Clyde Edwards-Helaire had an interesting line. 7 carries, no yards, and a touchdown. That's not one you're often going to see. He had 5 for 39 receiving. Indianapolis. Tight end Jelani Woods. 2 catches, 13 yards, 2 touchdowns. That's kind of where the Colts are at in their passing game right now. They have Pittman, and then it could be everybody else. It's a lot like Kansas City, where it's Kelce, and it could be anybody else. Now, the guys and the ladies, two ladies in particular are very good on NFL Fantasy Live. What are their names? Well, one's, why am I blanking? I need more coffee. Christina and, I'm sorry, I forget the, I think she's expecting. She's funny. She's good. I can't think of her name. I'm sorry. They'll say Jelani Woods, they do a segment, this helped nobody. You're wrong. Because let's say I was playing this week someone who owned Pittman and Jonathan Taylor. And here are the Colts in the red zone against the Chiefs, and they throw to Jelani Woods. That helps me because they didn't hand the ball to Taylor and they didn't throw the ball to Pittman. So there's your answer. It does help me when a player who is not on most fantasy rosters or in starting lineup scores. There is a way it is helpful to fantasy owners who are just happy that it's not Taylor or Pittman in this case. So change that segment. I get it, but there's the hole I just shot in it. Houston, Chicago, the loser Lovie Smith Bowl. Damian Pierce did touch the ball 22 times for 101 yards and a rushing TD. Oh, good for you. Khalil Herbert, you know I have a slight man crush on this guy from last year. Montgomery went out, Herbert came in, and just give him the ball. and let him push people. 20 carries, 151 yards, 2 touchdowns. You just watch him carry the ball, and you know there's something there. And Justin Fields sucked again and admitted he sucked again. Khalil Herbert is rostered on one of my teams. I certainly think I will be playing him if Montgomery is not 100% or inactive next week. Jacksonville at the Los Angeles Chargers. Christian Kirk, third game in a row. Doug Peterson, getting it done. Kirk, 6 catches, 72 yards and a touchdown. For the Chargers, those of you who invested a first-round pick in Austin Eckler and ignored the things I said leading up to your fantasy draft about Eckler and how it was just not wise to expect he could go for 20 touchdowns and 70 receptions in an encore of last season and be an RB2 overall again. 12 touches, 53 yards. Sony Michel's presence hurts Eckler near the goal line. It does. And I don't know why Justin Herbert played this game, and I don't know why he was out there in the fourth quarter. And I admire that he says he's going to play, and he stays in there till the end, and someone needs to say, Justin, you're going to sit this one out. We got this. Higbee for Rams, Arizona. I had an extra roster spot in one of my leagues this week on Sunday morning, and I was just looking around and said, let's throw a dart here. And you know I'm anti-tight ends, other than Travis Kelce, Mark Andrews, pretty much, and Dalton Schultz when healthy. Higbee sees a lot of volume in this Ram offense. And he did again in a game where Matt Stafford didn't throw a touchdown. There'll be better days for Matt Stafford. He didn't throw any interceptions, though. Higbee, among the leading receptions, leading guys in terms of receptions, 4 catches, 61 yards. No touchdown. If you're in a 20th century outdated mandatory tight end league, Higbee's not a bad play. For those that picked up Darrell Williams, I hope you didn't play him. And you might be able to cut him 1 week after picking him up. 1 touch for 7 yards. Green Bay, Tampa Bay. I have been saying that Alan Lazard being anointed the number one receiver to replace Devontae Adams was way ahead of schedule and based on nothing except a depth chart. That Alan Lazard had not shown me enough even when Adams was there, to be a wide receiver too. His line was very modest in the Packers' win against the Bucks because there weren't a lot of fantasy points out there. 4 catches, 45 yards, but there were two. He had a touchdown, so there were 2 plays in particular. There was a touchdown, second week in a row. Rodgers looks for Lazard in the red zone. And then late when Green Bay had the ball, trying to take time off the clock, they took some time off the clock, but Brady got the ball back, did get Tampa Bay in the end zone. Point being, there was a key moment on Green Bay's last drive when they were attempting to close out the game, and Rodgers isolated Lazard on Antoine Winfield. Does this sound familiar? How Antoine Winfield couldn't cover Cooper Kupp one-on-one in the playoff game late last year? And there was Green Bay isolating Lazard on Antoine Winfield one-on-one, no help. Boom. Big gainer, key play, fresh set of downs, flip the field. So I get that Lazard is significant to Aaron Rodgers. Romeo Doubs did have a good game here. I'm a fan of his, but I needed to see more. This was a step in that direction. Fournette touched it 17 times for 70 yards. Why didn't he touch it more? I mean, he's looked great, unless he's playing hurt and they're managing him. Now, when they get close to the goal line, it feels now like teams are prepping more for Fournette to get the ball on a rushing attempt than Brady throwing it, which is why he has no rushing touchdowns. As a matter of fact, Fournette has no touchdowns all season. He'd be a great buy low candidate if there's a frustrated fantasy owner out there who wants to sell off Leonard Fournette. I'd take him, just like I did last year. He helped me win a fantasy championship. Cordarrelle Patterson, rushing attempts only on the road in Seattle in what I told you would be a high-scoring game. 17 rushes, 141 yards, one touchdown. The legend of Cordarrelle Patterson continues. Love that guy. For the Seahawks, I picked up Tyler Lockett last week, and I played him. 9 receptions, 76 yards. No touchdowns. But the volume is there. He's got a very reliable set of hands. He might stay in my starting lineup for another week. And then the awful Sunday night game between the Niners and the Broncos. Jeff Wilson still touched the ball 15 times. He had an unfortunate fumble, but 106 yards, so right on the fringe there of double-digit points. Wasn't a good Debo game. Wasn't a good anything game for most. And it's games like this that frustrate fantasy owners of Russell Wilson. Even though Denver won the game, Russell Wilson, 20 of 33 for 184 yards, no touchdowns, 6 rushing attempts for 17 yards. Denver had 9 three and outs. They won the game. But Russell Wilson owners didn't get much. And that's why Russell Wilson is one of the most frustrating guys to own in fantasy football the last 6 years or so. Email me at write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com with individual questions about your fantasy teams. Thanks for listening to Season 7, Episode 35 of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. If anything of significance happens in Cowboys Giants, we will talk about it in our next episode. We are recording this before that game is played.